to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, as we're doing this series, continuing on understanding the book of Revelation. I could probably preach this all these seven churches in probably one sermon, but there's so much in a message that is in each one of the seven ones that we want to bring out. And you know, I thank God this morning, we want to talk about when a church grows cold. And it made me think of something that Billy Graham, I've got one of those Billy Graham calendars at my workstation at work, and every day I look at that, and one day this past week, one of the things that he was talking about was you can't have two conflicting forces that are in your life at the same time and be happy. You can have love in your life, or you can have hate in your life. But you can't have those two things at the same time and have peace and joy. That was one of the things he was talking about. He was using a reference of Scripture of Psalms 37, verse 5. He was talking about, commit your way to the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, I thank God, no matter what it is, if there's something that's missing in your life, if you've got two conflicting forces, you're crowding out the other one. Love needs to be the sole thing that is in our life a lot of times, but sometimes hate gets in there. Sometimes we get selfishness that comes in there a lot of times. And this morning, as we look at the book of Revelation, we see a lot of things. We see the blessings that God is going to give us from reading this book. We remember from chapter 1, verse 3, it told us basically three things that we're going to get. We'll be blessed, basically, if we're the one that reads it, as it says. And also, back in those days, the church family, they didn't have their own Bibles that we could take and read. They got up in the church, and the pastor began to read it. The second blessing is that one that listens, amen. If we'll just listen to the Word of God and apply it to our heart and lives. And then thirdly, we'll be blessed as well, as if we're the one that obeys the message here this morning. Sometimes we may be sitting by and we say, well, that's for my husband, or that's for my wife, amen. But sometimes, I think I like one thing that Joyce Meyer said. Joyce Meyer said something about you got to admit what's wrong, if it's negativism, whatever it is in your life. And I thank God she's an excellent teacher as well. And I thank God to be able to receive that blessing. Every one of us this morning, we got to do these three things. Not one of these three things, but all of these things in our life this morning. Also, we begin to look and we see what our outline is of this. We're in chapter 2. We see that it is a scene that is still on earth and is Jesus. If you've got your Bibles open this morning, I thank God this morning, getting used to this military Bible. I'm looking forward to going down to Newport, down below Jacksonville, be sworn back into the chaplaincy here coming up soon. And I've been out a long time, but if there's a need in this state, and you already know about it, my church family does, so you just pray for us as we do that and continue to minister to our troops and to help them out as well. Being fellow soldiers that's here, we want to be able to help them all that we can, amen. But I thank God, as we look at the Word, we see who's talking to us, because look at all the words in red. And then the words in red means that Jesus is talking to us this morning, amen, of the things that he's talking about. And I'll read the scripture in just a minute, but I thank God some of the things that we'll begin to see here this morning is an outline. And this is, if you're looking at verse 19 of chapter 1, you're going to be seeing it. You take your Bible and you can look exactly with what we're talking about here, because you look again at verse 19, it says, write the things, Jesus is saying to John, he says, write the things which thou hast seen. I thank God, as we begin to look here at the some of the Old Testament age, here is from Adam to AD 33. Those are those things that he's talking about in that first part. Here we see Jesus going to on the Calvary and going back to heaven. Right in here is the period that we're in from AD 33 to the present. Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3 that we're preaching about right now. That is our present age. That's the second part of chapter 19's outline. It says, and the things which are, that's us right now. And then we're going to get to later on from where it begins from the rapture point of view, when the church is raptured out of here. Then we'll begin with Revelation 4, and we'll go all the way through from the tribulation
from these to Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7 of the millennium to eternity of Revelation 21 and Revelation 22 of New Jerusalem. And I thank God of just looking at the outline of that that begins to tell us of our studies. Amen. Here are the seven letters to the churches of Asia Minor, or in Turkey as today. Amen. They have three outlooks that they begin to point out to us as well, that we begin to look to those. And I thank God they are basically practical, they're prophetically, and they're personally. First of all, we can view the scripture this morning prophetically of an anticipation, because these churches begin to represent different stages, different types, different ages of the church during this time. And I'm going to explain that briefly, but I'm going to preach to you, so I'm going to stick to these seven verses, but I'm going to get your mind thinking about what's going on, to be able to understand the precious Word of God. Also, I think God is talking about here is a time between the day of Pentecost, or the beginning of the church, to 100 AD as well, that it goes through and it begins to expand. It's not only a prophetic association that is viewed, but also our anticipation, but it's also a practical association that we're seeing here. We see literal, real congregations that these seven letters were sent out to the churches, amen. Very real of that first century church, amen. I thank God today it will benefit People's Valley Baptist Church. And it'll be viewed as a personal application. Every one of us this morning, the Bible says, he who has an ear, amen. And I thank God. Amen, brother. Amen, I thank God. It is something that is personal, not only for our congregation, but for every individual member that is here this morning. Amen. I thank God, just to show you, I've got some yellow sheets in the back. Make sure that you get one of those on your way out this morning. This is for you to read, amen, that we'll talk about and share with you other things that we've studied. Paul Brader has taught this in the book of Daniel. And I just want to reiterate, I'm not teaching this morning or preaching it, but I want to show you. Here, the 69 weeks, this is the gap that we're in. Revelation, right here is the gap, Revelation 2 and 3. Here is Daniel's timeline that he's talking about. And I thank God of Revelation 2 and 3, as we said, the clock has been stopped. It was an opportunity for every one of us. Here the Messiah was cut off. Amen. He was killed. He was refused. He was rejected. Thank God we're in the time of the church age. The Gentiles were grafted in to the covenant. Amen. That's you and I. And I thank God here is that gap that is talked about where Daniel's timeline of that 70th week. Amen. I thank God 7 years equals a 70th week. Amen. We're not there yet. Amen. We're in the gap. Amen. And I thank God as we begin to see this, you'll have a sheet that you can look at. And it begins to tell us of that 70th week that we're not in yet. That's the future, amen. That's that third part of that 19th verse of chapter 1 that it's talking about. We're right in the gap of that 69 week right here. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Later on, when the 7 years will come in, I thank God that 70th week will start right after the church is raptured out of here, amen. Revelation chapter 6 through 9. And then as it goes on, you'll see as it goes on. I'm not here to talk about that, but to show you and to get you interested to see that. Amen. Here you'll have this exact sheet that's on that sheet in the back that you can take with you as well. Now, thank God, again, is telling you in detail of that time gap that is there. Amen. And all the days that are calculated of those 70 weeks that are going to come to pass. Amen. And I'm not saying bad language, but when we're raptured out of here, I'm going to tell you that everything's going to break loose, amen. Yeah, I tell you, like I always say, you're going to be looking for the exit sign somewhere, but they ain't going to find it because, listen, there's no way to get out of here except through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I thank God to be able to avoid the tribulation, amen. I thank God once again, we're looking at where we're at here as well. Asia Minor, also is modern-day Turkey. But we're here where he was on Patmos writing it. And here we're talking about the Church of Ephesus this morning. We've got a lot of things that we can learn about the Church of Ephesus as well. Amen. And I thank God as we look here, I have this for a sheet as well on the back that gives you a breakdown again of what we're talking about. We're right in here. Christ went to the cross right here. Here is your seven churches. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And it shows each one of the events of that. Here is your 70th week. We're still in Revelation 2 and 3 with these churches that are still very much real today in this walk of life. Amen. And I thank God as we begin to look at this and begin to see the interpretation of this, I thank God you can break down all seven churches into two categories. I thank God of the first four that are in chapter 2, today that we're talking about Ephesus, Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira are all considered consecutive churches. That's churches that follow successive stages in history, amen. One behind the other, that we see that, amen. Now, thank God, we go on and we begin to see that it is really basically right in here about this time in Thyatira, around about the 600 years, that where the Dark Ages begin to come in. From chapter 2, right here, from Ephesus to Thyatira is chapter 2, amen. Here from Sardis all the way to Laodicea is chapter 3. And here we'll see with the Dark Ages, there was a tremendous split that began to come in, a change in those churches between these two chapters, amen. And I thank God we begin to see the contemporary churches come on the scene from Sardis and Philadelphia and the Laodicean church from this period right in here. Here from around the 600 period, we had a gentleman that came on the scene from the Dark Ages, and his tool was a sword. You're seeing the effect of it today in Israel and all through this country. Because that guy, he come in and all of a sudden, he began to convert people. And he says, if you convert by my way, I'll let you live. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. You know who I'm talking about, amen. He was the guy in the Dark Ages by the name of Muhammad. He came in, and I tell you, I think all us Christians today, we sing a Christian song saying, almost persuaded, and there's a few people come. And I thank God when they sang his song of Muhammad, he says, almost beheaded, and everybody came because he had taken life. And that's how he did his evangelistic approach. And that's why you don't see any of these churches today in Turkey, because I thank God they either had to go, and there is a story, and I don't have time to get into it, where some of the Jews became Muslims. And some of you ministers know the story of that, and really lied about it. They actually became Muslim, but they were true Christians. But to stay alive, they confessed to be Muslims. And there's a whole story behind that as well, amen. But I thank God here this morning, we begin to look and see at the Word of God this morning. If you would, stand with me this morning in the book of Revelation chapter 2 for the reading of God's Word this morning. The Bible tells us, it says, listen, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Look at this. I know thy works. He says that on all seven churches. He says it in verse 9. He says it in verse 13. He says it in verse 19. Amen. He goes on. He says it also in verse chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 18, 15. Excuse me. And he goes on. He says, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, listen to this, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You may be seated. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blessing that we feel this morning. I pray, God, that you'll just continue to fill us with your Spirit. Hide us behind the cross of Calvary. This morning, Father, even though that we studied your Word the way that you told us in your Word to study your Word. But Lord, I pray, God, that I have notes, but God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would direct me. And Lord, with this new technology of PowerPoint, Father, I pray your will be done in this message. Lord, whatever you have me to do, Father, I'll just be obedient to you, Father, and say what you'd have me to say. Skip what you want me to skip. And Father, Lord, to the glory of my Lord and Savior, preach your gospel with his power, Lord, as a vessel that is clean unto you, that you have called, Father, Lord, into the ministry. I ask you this morning, Lord, may this calling go forth today. May you call new ministers today to continue to preach this word. And I ask you, God, that you will use People's Valley Baptist Church. May we raise up ministers and, Lord, women and men and, Lord, kids, Father, Lord, boys and girls that know the gospel, that understand your word, and when the days come, Father, we'll be expecting them. And we will reach everyone that is able to be reached, Father. Everyone that can listen to the gospel, we'll preach and we'll teach, Father, from this church up on the hill. Lord, with the power of God within our spirit, Father, Lord, may your word go forth, because it is your word that is powerful this morning. God, it's nothing that I can do and say and come up with notes, but your word is powerful this morning. And I pray that the anointing, God, will flow this morning from this pulpit. God, that your wonderful unity will go forth from breast to breast. And God, there'll be no hindrance that'll get in the doorway and that will stop that spirit of flow. But God, that sinner will fall under conviction this morning. And God, get saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for my family. I thank you for my wife. Lord, I thank you for these past 19 years. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for going to Calvary just for me. And Father, I thank you for People's Baptist Church, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God, as we see our outline, we begin to see some things here this morning that the Lord is going to share with us. Amen. I thank God, as we see this, of all these, I just want to point out real quick, is there is a commendation for all of these churches except for Laodicea. Not a word was given to Laodicea. But I thank God, of all of these things, that there was something of a condemnation. Everyone had something except for two churches. Smyrna, which is a word for weeping or sorrow in a sense. And there was no word for the church of brotherly love of Philadelphia. Amen. But I thank God, as we move on this morning, we remember last time in chapter 1, we begin to see something that described our Lord and Savior that he was talking about. Amen. He was talking about some things in verse 14 of chapter 1 that was describing Jesus Christ, some of the characteristics about him. And I'm going to use that characteristic to describe this chapter, amen, of this verse. I thank God, he was talking about that the eyes of Christ were like a flame of fire. And I thank God, he's able to see in our lives today. He's able to look at everything that is going on in your family's life. And he knows everything, amen. He is omnipotent, amen. He's omnipresent, amen. I thank God of all the things. I remember a few weeks ago, I had an MRI done. And I tell you, being a minister, we're always going and we're hearing about some of our church family getting a medical treatment. And I thank God, whether you get an MRI done, x-rays done, or CAT scans done, doctors are able to see something that's there on the inside that they normally couldn't see on the outside. And I thank God, here we can see that Jesus is that great physician again. He's sharing something that he's telling in this vision to John. He's saying, look, I'm going to be that x-ray vision for you. I'm going to tell you what each one of these churches can be seen on the inside. Outside, it may look like the best church. When people are out there, they can drive by People's Baptist Church and they say, man, that's a beautiful church. It's got stained glass windows. It's brick, amen. The fellowship hall's brick. It's beautiful, amen. It's got wonderful people. But the Lord is able to look on that individual person, amen. He's got that eyes of flame, of fire, that is able to look and to see what is needed within everyone today. And I think God here is exactly what he's doing with these churches, amen. He's got that x-ray vision. He's got that ability to look within, amen. And I thank God that is something where he's able to tell about the correction that is needed of these seven churches, amen. Here, I thank God, we are seeing as the Lord sees these things this morning. We're seeing in the black and the white, amen, what looks good and what looks bad. He's going to describe them to them. That's what you're seeing in these blanks that you'll take a copy with you, yes, man. I thank God this morning. Here we're seeing what's bad to start out with this morning, amen. Because in verse 4 of chapter 2, one of the things that we read this morning, amen, was it was talking about how their love, amen, was no longer the same. It was talking about here, he says, nevertheless I have, listen, this against you. He was saying that you have left your first love. Now, thank God, we're going to get into that in just a minute and talk about that and what that means, amen. But what Jesus was saying is, you don't love me the way that you used to. Now, this, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but can you imagine this? You go home after 30 years of marriage one day, you walk up to your wife, and you say, honey, I just don't love you anymore. But look, you know, if you want to, I'll just keep on living here, and I'll pay the bills, and nobody will never know any difference. And notice I ain't looking at my wife, because I love my wife. I don't want her to think I'm saying that. That's why I'm not looking. I love my wife, amen. And don't you go nowhere, baby. But I'm going to tell you, listen this morning. Can you imagine going home and saying something like that, and then expect her to say, well, yeah, I'll stay with you, and I'll put up with that. If, yeah, you can do whatever you want. Nah, that's exactly how God looks at it. God says, I'm not going to put up with that. I love you so much that I'm not going to tolerate that. I love you. God's a jealous God today. He's not going to tolerate anything like that. Amen. I thank God here we begin to see one of the first points that I want to talk about this morning is should have a scriptural orthodoxy for Christ. Every church should have scriptural orthodoxy. You say, man, are you trying to use a big term? No, I'm just a country boy. But I'm going to tell you the reason I use this is for a very important reason, because orthodoxy means the truth. And I thank God that if there's a church that was anywhere, Ephesus was a church that believed in preaching the truth, amen, the word of God. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. But Jesus is still talking here. And I thank God here, he's telling us, amen, that there needs to be truth for Christ in the church, amen. In order to be scripturally true, amen. And I thank God sometimes we get into a situation where churches, they say, oh, I just overlook that. You come on in here, man. Bring your pocketbook with you. Come on in here. And they'll overlook whatever. But I thank God, Ephesus, the name itself of the church, meant desirable. And I tell you, it was a desirable church. I tell you, he's telling us here that the stars are the angels, are the pastors of the church. And there's two ways that you can look at it as an individual, amen. I look at it as the pastor, but I thank God in scripture wise, I saw it said both ways. I preached to you a while back about, when Michael stood up, amen, began to fight in Daniel. And I thank God Daniel chapter 10 talks about that. Every nation has an angel assigned to it. Every nation in this world has an angel that is assigned to that nation. Amen. Say, what are you talking about? That's biblical. Daniel chapter 10 tells us that. Remember when I was preaching about all of a sudden there was an angel that was there representing where Daniel was, and all of a sudden his prayers were being blocked for 21 days? Look out, buddy, when you try to block God's word, because he's still in control. All of a sudden Michael showed up. Remember what I told you? When Michael shows up, he's the angel that you're going to get you. Teeth kicked in, amen. Because he's going to take care of you, amen. He's going to liberate you. He's going to redeem you. He's going to free you, amen. Because he can't do what Christ can, but he's going to do his job, amen. Now, thank God, here we see that angel of the Lord. There is a great responsibility that is put upon this position. That angel of the Lord, or that pastor, or that messenger. Of course, I thank God that the term angel in this actually means messenger. It refers to a pastor, amen. But I thank God I saw it used both ways in the text. So however you want to look at it this morning, I look at it this morning as that pastor, that responsibility. Sometimes people put a pastor up on a pedestal. They put him in glass houses. Listen, we're men just like anybody else, but we've been called as servants, under shepherds, with a compassionate heart for the church. Man, I'm going to tell you, you got to love this position to be in it. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, you might be in the mega churches, they might be a payroll in it, but listen, you've got to love this. You ask my wife, I'll tell you, I love being a pastor, amen. But I'm going to tell you something, it's not putting me up in no pedestal this morning. I'm going to tell you, if anything, it ought to humble us this morning. So I'll tell you, don't try to put me, I'm just like you are. I'm just a regular servant here. I just happen to be up in the front, but my humbleness is to serve this morning, amen. And I thank God here, he's telling us this. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write this. He says, write this and let every one of them know, amen. Literally, let this message go forth, amen. Let it be told, amen. And I thank God as we begin to see this, it begins to tell us, he says, these things. Let me show this first real quick. Here is a typical picture of what it's showing of being in the midst. Let me back it up one time. He says, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now I thank God here is just a literal picture of the closest one. And I thank God what I want to make plain out of this picture is these are candlesticks, but they're not just by themselves. I believe these candlesticks are on the menorah itself. Notice this is a seven candle menorah. Amen. It's not the 8th, which is according to the holidays that they have with the 8 candle menorah, amen. According to that, and that's another story. But I thank God here, your Shamash, which is the servant candle, is that center one that represented. You say, are you making this up? Go all the way back to Exodus chapter 37. This was exactly the light that was used and designed from God to be put in the very first tabernacle. It is biblical this morning. So I thank God as you look at this, you see Him in the very midst. He's of the Shamash. He's the servant candle in every one that you go in Israel. He's the one that is in the center from all that faces Him. They write their scripture. Brother Bob did one. Brother Paul did one as well on Wednesday nights. He talked about the menorah, amen. And I thank God the menorah is very important in the eyes of God. And I'm not teaching about this, but I just want to bring it to your attention, amen, real quickly about this. That He says, these things said He that holdeth the 7 stars in His right hand, amen. I thank God He is the one that is walking in the midst. I don't want to belong to a church that He's not in the midst of, amen. I don't want to be a member of any church that He's not walking in the midst of it, amen. I thank God this morning He's got the power that's signified in His right hand, amen. Every one of these pastors, these 7 stars, these messengers that He's given us, amen. I thank God I don't want to try to preach without His power and Him being in the midst with the Holy Spirit of God this morning. Well, I thank God it is the word hold that you see here that holdeth that He's talking about, which is the Greek word kratio. Kratio, which means to have power, amen, to be powerful, amen. And I thank God He's still in control today. I thank God that is walking in the midst of the church, amen. I thank God as we begin to see a little bit further, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. He's walking in the midst of those churches as we see, amen, today. And He's letting us know that He is here this morning, amen, with the Holy Spirit of God as He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He said, I won't leave you comfortless, amen. I thank God we go on, and here we see another picture animated of that menorah that is there. Him being in that center of the Shamash as well that is being told here. Just a picture to kind of relay that to your minds, amen. They always say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and if I can plant that in your mind, get you curious enough to go further and to study the Word of God. All through the book, amen, I thank God as you see, here is your 7 candle menorah that's representing each one of these as well. Ephesus being the first. When you say, that don't make any sense. Hey, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, every one of those numbers means exactly what each one of these chapters in Revelation is talking about. I thank God it goes that way in the Old Testament as well, that they wrote it by the menorah in every so many letters, I believe it was 50, they would repeat it and put the Torah spelled in the writing of it. That's how they were able to remember all these years and to bring it back and back again, all of the blessed word of God that we have, amen, to recite it from generation to generation. They had a code, amen, and they went by the code of the menorah, amen. I thank God here we see every representation of every one of these, amen. We look and we see that the chapter 2 itself, the bay, which is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet of the 22, amen, is the value of 2, signifying the number of the house, which is the house of meeting, of the prayer meeting house, amen. I thank God you can go even further than that, but I don't have time to just talk about this. I got to get back to my message, amen. You see it all the way from all the 22 chapters, each one is represented by that menorah, amen, and that it changes later on, amen. Just putting the thought in your mind is all I'm doing, amen, with this, amen. Here is the actual real one that is in Jerusalem. It's been made for the day when we're raptured out of here. It's overlaid with gold as well. It is a real one. I didn't make this up, but I'm going to tell you that's the one they're going to get out during the time when we're raptured out of here and when Satan begins to tell them a lie and begin to start setting up sacrifices again in the temple. This will be the very menorah that has been built to use for that third temple, amen, that is talking about in that coming day, amen. And I thank God just letting you see that. Here we get to one of the things that we're talking about, Ephesus itself, amen. A couple pictures that I'll show you about it as well, the audience and assembly here. It was a strategic city that was there, amen. It was a seacoast capital of Asia, amen. And I thank God it's one of the greatest religious, political, and commercial centers that there ever was of its time, amen. Commercially, it lay right by the Kaiser River, I tell you, on the country of Turkey, amen. The river, as it flowed fast, and it tended to seal up around the harbor of Ephesus right there. They had to keep it cleaned out. out all the time to be able to have a great harbor where the ships could come in and deal, amen. And I thank God, eventually they lost that battle to the silt that was coming in from the tide later on. And the ruins of Ephesus are now located some 6 miles inland from the sea. Right there where people would get right out from the harbor. They would go down a line of columns and they would follow it. And that road would go down what was called the Arcadian Way, amen. And it had 3 trade routes as well. There was actually 4 great trade routes. But of those 4, 3 of those great trade routes converged from Ephesus. And they went from the Euphrates River east from Galatia of Asia Minor to one from the Mender Valley south. And then all of a sudden you begin to see over 250,000 people back in those days. That's a lot of people that were there. They had an amphitheater that held 25,000 people back in those days, man. I don't have a picture of it, but this is the library that's at Ephesus. Here are some of the ruins that's there. I want to show you this for a reason, because John, the Revelator, was the very last one. After he came off the island of Patmos, he was the last one of the apostles that was there. I thank God here, Brother Bob has been teaching us the book of Acts. And it tells us that Ephesus was one of those that in the book of Acts that Paul went there. He established the city of Ephesus. He preached there for 3 years. He put the wonderful orthodoxy. He put the truth. He preached it and he said, this is what you need to abide by, amen. For 3 years, he taught and he preached the word of God in Ephesus, amen. Now, thank God we got the book of Ephesians itself that as well that talks about this same city, amen. Here is the grave of John. This is where John, the Revelator, is buried to this day in Turkey, amen, in this exact location, amen. I thank God as we see this, we see a lot of things that took place in this place as well. Here was the one of the Temple of Diana, which was one of the 7 wonders of the world. It was so famous, it's 425 feet long, 220 feet wide, 60 feet high. And it was right at the center, was roofed with cedar wood over the roof of it. It had great folding doors that was in it. It had the doors were made of cypress. The stairway, they said, was made from one gigantic root that was taken off the island itself and was cut from one gigantic vine of cypress that was there. It had 127 Parthian marble pillars that was in it, each one of them from a king. And all of a sudden, 36 of those pillars were overlaid with gold and jewels and intricate carvings that was on it. It was a time of its, what a beautiful thing. But listen, it didn't have any orthodoxy about it. And I'm going to tell you something. They had all of this terrible things of prostitution that was going on in this thing. And they had all of these intricate idols that I'll show you just briefly of all these things that they had, these relationships in this. That was their type of relationship. You know what Paul, the Apostle Paul said? Looks like a good place to build a church. Amen. He goes right in. You know, we're on our jobs today, and sometimes we want, oh man, why did I got to be on a job that all these folks are cursing and they're drinking and they're drug folks? God's got you there for a reason, amen. He wants you to go in and to share the gospel with these folks you work with, amen. You're the one that'll straighten that place out and make it some job that it ought to be, amen. I thank God he's got you there for a reason. Don't be complaining about it. Be a Christian. Be orthodox. Be in truth, praise God. Well, I thank God that's exactly what he's talking about here. Boy, here was a place that not only was it the bank, because it was a sanctuary for criminals. They said anywhere outside of a bow shot, 200 yards, they were considered safe around this place, amen, of the 7 wonders of the world, amen. It was one of the most, not only commercial and religious, but a political. It was one where it had its own free. It was a free city, amen. It was not under binding by no Roman authority. They had laws that were there. I thank God. Paul did a good job in Acts, amen, preaching the word of God. He passed it on, and Apollos preached there. I thank God Aquila and Priscilla, they went there for meetings, amen. He turned it over to his very devout Timothy. He left Timothy in charge. Timothy preached there, amen. And later John, which died there, that I showed you, amen. Well, I thank God. Oh, everywhere old Paul went, boy, it was either a riot or there was a revival. Boy, when he went in there, he preached the orthodoxy of the truth and the scripture, amen. They said they got so mad about it. For listen, this is, I am not making this up. For 2 hours they got up because he made them so mad, and a riot started out, amen. They would say, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great. For 2 whole hours he made them so mad he preached the gospel to them, amen. Well, I thank God that's what it takes to be a very strong church spiritually, amen. To go up against no matter what's going on outside these walls in this world today and stand with the orthodox, the truth of the living God, amen. That's what it's all about today, amen. Well, Well, I thank God we're not going by any way. Here is a statue of Diana herself, of this Greek goddess that, of love and fertility, that they say. Here are some of the images of the idol, that these silversmiths, they were making a killing off all of these things here. Man, of all these things, these were dug up from there. I'm going to go on past those things because I don't want them to be up on this screen long. I'm just giving you an idea of what was dug up there. I don't want to show anything that long. I thank God we come to our second part as well. But I thank God that we're looking at here this orthodoxy. We begin to see some things that was devoted about this. Not only is it still a scriptural orthodoxy of truth of Christ. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Amen. He says, listen. He says, I know you were a devoted church. He says, I know that you had the complete knowledge. Amen. That you were sticking to it. Amen. He says, I thank God that word labor means service. I'm going to toil. I'm going to labor to the point of weariness and exhaustion. Does that sound like any of us today for the gospel? Amen. How long has it been since we did something like that? Said, man, I'm going to get the gospel out. Amen. I'm going to preach the word of God. Sometimes you got the shirkers, the jerkers, and you got the workers. You got the shirkers. They come in and they don't do anything. They shirking everything. Oh, no, not me. I'm not going to make no commitment in this church. You got the jerkers. They in for about 30 days. You never see them again. And then all of a sudden you got the workers. They come in and they're going to stay. Amen. They're going to deliver. They're going to stick with the word of God. Amen. Labor is something. He said, you're a devoted church. Amen. I thank God he goes on. He says, also, he says, you're steadfast as well. Amen. Of those works that he's talking about, of these three things, he's talking about the works, the labor, and the patience. Amen. I've got to go on. He says, you're devoted. He says, you're disciplined as well. Amen. Because I thank God he goes on a little bit further. And he says, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Amen. Well, I thank God. He says, look. He says, I'm not going to put up with any of that. Amen. I'm going to do it. The old mountain preacher, Dr. Vance Hagner, said this. I quote him. He says, back in that church, he says, they had the temperatures that were in this church were so high that it killed all the germs. Amen. I thank God that is so true. That's the way we ought to be in our church family today. Amen. Devoted. We ought to be disciplined. Amen. We ought to be discerning with everything that comes in here. I thank God even the men of God that gets behind this pulpit. Amen. I believe that the scriptural, the orthodoxy of the truth when they're preaching in this pulpit. I'm not going to put somebody behind this pulpit that I don't know is preaching that word of God. Amen. I thank God. I'm going to move on. I've got to move on. He says, and has borne and has patience. The second thing we see is a steadfast loyalty to Christ, amen. That they have that patience for my name's sake, that has labored and has not fainted, amen. Well, I thank God a lot of times it's easy to quit and go home, amen. Some people get so discouraged when something doesn't go their way. Well, it might be a family or a clique in a church, amen. They get to, oh man, listen, I'll tell you, it's God's way or it's no way today is how it ought to be, amen. But I thank God, here I'm preaching to you and I'm telling you, he says these things. He says, you need to persevere with patience, amen. I thank God you need to be a determined church as well, to keep on doing what you need to do. Don't get easily discouraged, amen. Here, Ephesus was a city of culture and commerce and cults, amen. And I thank God they kept on preaching the word of God. No matter if there's a big old temple out that all this glory that was there, amen. And I thank God it goes on a little bit further. He says this. He says, if I get this thing to work right. That thing's locked up on me. I don't know why it wants to. Well, no, it ain't. I'm just going so fast I ain't seeing it. Amen. Let me back that thing back up. And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. I'm going to go on to the next one, verse 2. He says, I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and canst not bear them which are evil. But he says, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Amen. Well, I thank God of all the things that we see today. They went up against the Nicolaitans. And I'll show you just a little bit real quickly in that today. And I thank God one of the things that we've got to have is that loyalty of scriptural orthodoxy. Let me move on back on a little bit further today. He goes on to verse 3 again. He says, we need a steadfast loyalty to Christ. Those that are born and has patience for my name's sake and has labored and has not fainted. Amen. I want to talk about that just for a minute real quick. Every one of us need an intimacy in our life today. I thank God we've got to be able to keep that romance going in this church. I thank God some days I take my wife out on Friday. That's our days from pastoring. Amen. I thank God. But all the other time I might get Tuesday sometimes. But other than that, Fridays is the other day that I have for my wife to keep that intimacy going, amen. To keep it sustained, to keep it going, to keep it alive, amen. And I thank God that's exactly what you got to do in your life as a Christian today. Sometimes we get so caught up in so many things today going on that we say, oh, man, you know, Lord, I know you love me. I'm going to go on out here today and hit me a couple of golf balls. Or I'm going to go do it. And I'll think about you later on, Lord. But I'm going to tell you, we don't have that intimacy in our relationship with Jesus Christ is what it's talking about, amen. I thank God that scriptural orthodoxy, amen. Then I'm going to tell you something. That's what's missing in a lot of our lives and a lot of churches today is that one-on-one fellowship and that relationship with Him today, amen, that He's talking about as we go on. He said, for my name's sake, as they're labeled and not feigned, amen. Let me move on for the sake of time. We should have a sustained intimacy with Christ that it's talking about as well. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love, amen. I think God, He goes on and says, because thou hast left thy first love. Let me move on for the sake of time. We should have sustained intimacy in verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. He's telling us the warnings, amen. Here were those x-ray visions. He saw all of the things that need to be done. He's given us the warning. And now He's been telling us what is inside and what has happened and what has taken place in our life, amen. He's given us the cure right here is what He's trying to say, amen. He says, remember therefore from whence you have fallen, amen. What it took, He says, remember, amen. Go back to whatever it takes when you are down on your knees praying, reading your Bible every day, getting in your prayer life. Remember those things. Go back to those things, amen. You ain't got to get saved again, but remember what it is that you did and do it again, amen. He says you need to repent, amen. Go back and repent of those things. Ask forgiveness of those. The Lord's commandment is to love Him, the greatest commandment, with all of our heart, soul, and mind, amen. I thank God, be able to be faithful to Him. Amen. And he talks about that repeat it as well. He says, repent. He said, do the first work. So go back and repeat it. Amen. Do it again. Repeat that thing. Amen. And he goes on a little bit further that we're to be able to remove these things as well that he's talking about. He says, as well, he goes on, that are fallen. He says, and let me move it on just a little further to catch it there. Repent and do the first work, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place. Amen. I thank God as we begin to get close to closing here this morning. I want to talk to you just in closing, amen, that here we begin to see some of the things of having purity within this church, amen, as we continue on, amen. He says we need to keep that sanctified purity within the church. He hated the deeds. He didn't hate the Nicolaitans, but he hated what they did. I'm glad the Lord, He loves the sinner, but He hates the sins, amen. And He's still that way today with all the things that we do. He loves that sinner. He wants you to come, amen. But He hates the sin. Here are these Nicolaitans were some folks that wanted to come in. They're kind of like the priests of our day today. With the word Nicolaitans and Nicio the conqueror, Laos the people. They're like those ones that come in, put themselves up and separate themselves from the rest of the people, amen. And begin to set up their own thing that's going on today. That is one of the worst problems that we had in those pictures of the churches that I showed you during the Dark Ages where they come in there. Man, come on and kiss my hand, amen. Get down on your kneel before me. Make your crosses. Do all of those ritual things that you do through. I'm going to tell you something. We need to keep the sanctified purity before Christ today. Amen. He says, I commend you that you didn't let these ones come in. Amen. And I thank God these two churches, Pergamos and Thyatira, had the problem with bishops and archbishops, domineering people that came in and made it very clear that they were the high priest instead of Jesus Christ today. I thank God as I move on and get closer to closing this morning with this information, amen. He goes on a little bit further and he says to them, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I thank God that spiritual victory that He will give us this morning if we will just have that wonderful faith in Him. He didn't say to the church, but He says churches. Look at it. There's an S on it. It is plural, amen. Every member of every church, amen. Literally every one of us, he that hath an ear, he's taking it to an individual. He's taking it to the churches today because this is very much those that are overcomers. Overcomers are those ones who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, amen, today. I thank God that is the thing that we have today. Those ones that are overcoming today are those ones that have been saved by God's marvelous grace this morning, amen. Christians today, we have that right to that tree of life, amen. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. He wouldn't let them come back in and partake of that tree of life. He threw them out of the Garden of Eden. He threw them out of there because He said they can't have the right. They got sin in their life. Listen this morning. Is your love the way that it ought to be? Why do you do what you do today? Is it out of love for Jesus, or it is because your family has always come to church? Your family has always been in a church on Sunday, and that's why you're here. Or is it because you love Jesus Christ so much? You came here today to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This morning, you can receive a blessing. You can receive that wonderful blessing for all of your family if you are here for the right reason. But some of you, you got so cold. You've been giving God the cold shoulder for so long. The honeymoon has been over for a long, long time between you and your Heavenly Father. This morning, He says you need to make things right this morning. His sister Sheila plays softly on the piano this morning. You need to make things right. This altar is open right here this morning. I know I took some extra time to preach to you this morning. I'm going to tell you something. You need to take care of business in your house. If you're a husband this morning, to be the spiritual leader in your home, you need to have the right relationship with the Lord this morning. You need to be passionately in love with the Lord as you are your wife, amen. Remember what Valentine was all about. Remember what the challenge was. He said you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You need to love the Lord with compassion this morning. And if you don't love Him that way, you need to ask forgiveness right where you're sitting at. I tell you, get up and come down to this altar and make it used this morning. Or right where you're sitting at. I'll make it even easier for you. Pray that prayer. Lord, I'm in prayer from your heart. Lord, I know that you're probably disappointed with me this year. I haven't drawn close to you like I should have. But Lord, I pray that you will let me walk within your spirit this morning. That I will honor you and please you this morning. Lord, help me this morning. Put it in your own words this morning. Lord, take the darkness out of my heart that I can hear your word this morning and be faithful servant for you. Love you truly with compassion. How about that this morning? Put it in your words. How about that this morning? How long has it been since you really loved the Lord for who He is this morning? There might be a sinner that's here this morning that's never been saved. And I want to talk to you just for a moment in closing. You've never been saved by God's marvelous word. But this morning, God knew that you were going to be here. And I thank God, if you was to die right now, do you know where you're going to spend eternity at? I'm going to tell you, if you don't know the answer to that question, you need to check up on yourself. Because, first of all, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, the penalty of your sin is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But I thank God Jesus Christ paid that penalty for us when He died on the cross. The Bible says God commendeth, or in other words, He demonstrated His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But I thank God it gets better. He says if you'll believe this and you'll receive Christ as your Savior, God will save you, because He says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning you can put your name in there. You can pray that prayer. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and that I deserve to go to hell because of my sin. But I believe that Jesus Christ died on Calvary just for me, to pay the penalty for my sin. And right now, Lord, I'm asking you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart and to save me right here. Put it in your own words, but pray that prayer. And if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, wherever you're sitting at this morning, I want to know that. I want recognition of that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, that's you. You just meant with all of your heart. Not a head knowledge, but 18 inches down your heart knowledge. You pray that and meant that with all of your heart. I want you to lift that hand up and put it down. I ain't going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to come to you. But I want you to be known that you just asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life. Right here, right now. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and life before, now is the time. Time. We're in Revelation 2 and 3. But before long, when we come out of that, the rapture is all that's left. I'm going to tell you something. Preachers won't tell you this. You get saved here in that tribulation, but it may cost you your life. I'm going to tell you, it'll cost you a lot. Why not just go with the church when they go? Right here, right now. You've never been saved. You can pray that sinner's prayer. Lord, save me a sinner. How about it this morning, sinner? How about it? How about it this morning, Christian? Where's that love at? Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for loving us so much, Lord, that you gave us your wonderful word. You went to Calvary just for us. And Father, I owe you so much. I thank you so much for giving me peace in my soul. Bless this church, Lord. There may be someone that needs to move even closer to you. They may need to join. They may need to be in doing something in this church that will benefit and help the ministry. Father, I tell you, speak to their heart this morning. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you.